Amen. I'm glad it doesn't change. You say, how do you know that? Well, because the Bible says so. Amen. God's word's always right. Amen. I want to do a couple things before I get into the message, because I'm like, Pastor, I won't remember. And I've been doing something for weeks now that I keep forgetting, and God reminded me while you were remembering something. Jordan Curtis, if you would, after the service, come see me and my wife. Jordan, I owe Jordan something for a challenge we gave our young people, and I've owed her for about a month now, and I was looking out, and I saw her back there. So, Jordan, you make sure you come see my wife and I. We've got that with us, and I don't want to forget it, so I wanted to say that. We're in Matthew chapter 17. I'm getting the message real quick, but I want to say a word about what Brother Phillip said. I tell you, it was so good being at the jail last night, and Brother Phillip mentioned, I'm going to try not tonight to say I'm almost done, right? I'll be honest, I haven't been in many... I've been preaching for a while now, and I've been in a lot of services, but I just don't. I was telling Pastor, there is no greater feeling in all the world. I can't think of anything that feels better than to know that God is present and that God is using you. And it's nothing that we can do. Brother Phillip, as he preached to the ladies, myself, as I preached to the men, I told those men, I have nothing to offer you tonight except what God, that's all I can. Me and myself, I have nothing. But it was just to sense God's presence and to be a part of that service, it did something for me. I can't remember. I kept saying I'm almost done. I felt like I was on the mission field because a couple of those guys, Brother Phillip's laughing, a couple of the guys over there kept saying, keep going, man, keep going. And they were, I mean, I hear people talk about on the mission field, the mission, you know, preaching, and the preachers say they'll sit there for an hour and a half. Those guys just kept on, they kept egging me on. I told Brother Phillip, I said, they're about to preach me to death. I mean, they were hungry for it. When we got done, a couple of them come up to me, man, you could have just kept on preaching. I wish you would have just kept on preaching. And it wasn't me. It was God. I'm 100% sure of that. I know what it was. It was God. I told Brother Phillip, he preached such a great message to the ladies. I literally sat there and prayed during the service, God, do you want me to let Brother Phillip preach to the men too? Because he had the message, and I knew I didn't have nothing, but God did, and I thank God for it. I'm just so thankful God would. It's humbling to think that God will use us. I pray he'll do it tonight. I want God to use me. That's my desire. Matthew chapter 17, it's actually kind of odd tonight that Brother David was talking about missions. I didn't know that we were going to do that. I knew this message was coming up in my series. I was hoping that it would maybe fall next Sunday, because next Sunday's the last Sunday I would be preaching before our missions emphasis. But in the way of the messages, we're right here in Matthew 17. We were in Matthew 17 last week looking at Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter being there. And so we're still in chapter 17, and here's another event in Peter's life. And so I'm just going to keep preaching them the way that God gives them to me. And I was hoping it would be next Sunday, Brother David, because I thought that'd be right before missions emphasis. But then tonight you came, you presented some stuff about missions, and I just know that this is the message God wants me to preach. I'm going to preach to you tonight on this subject, Peter's collection. Peter's collection. I hope you'll follow along with me here in a minute and see what I'm saying. But before I get into the message, I do want to lay some groundwork and just say a couple things. In verse number 24, the Bible says this, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that receive tribute money, this is a tax, a temple tax. Most of you, if you have a study Bible, there's probably a note in your Bible that says that. But all men, all commentators and different ones agree that that's what this tribute was. It was a tribute money. It was a temple tax. You can find it in Exodus, I believe in Nehemiah. And they would take a amount of money for the temple. And they come to Peter and they asked him and said, it says they came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And verse 25 says, and I like this, verse 25 says, he saith yes. So Peter just answers him. I'm not exactly sure why Peter answered the way that he did. Maybe it was faith. We'll talk about faith promise a little bit tonight. And maybe it was just faith. Peter just knew he's going to do it. He said yes. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to protect Jesus. Peter had heard Jesus was going to Jerusalem and that he was going to be delivered up to the scribes and the Pharisees and that he was going to be killed. Jesus has been teaching Peter that. Last couple of weeks, we've been seeing how that Jesus has kind of transitioned in Matthew 16, and he began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and he must die. And so maybe when these guys came to Peter and said, does your master going to pay the tribute tax? Maybe Peter was thinking, yes, he's going to pay it, because he didn't want in any way to offer Jesus up to be persecuted. I don't know why he said yes, but he did. He said yes, and when he was come into the house, the Bible says Jesus prevented him. That means Jesus kind of got ahead of him. Jesus went before him. Jesus didn't even let Peter say anything to him, and Jesus said something first. The Bible says that Jesus prevented him saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon?" He asked Peter a question. "Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" I really believe in this passage right here, and it's not what I'm preaching tonight, but I really believe that Jesus is once again telling Peter who he is. You say, how do you get that, Brother David? Because he said to Peter, he said, "You asked me if I'm going to pay this temple tax." He said, "Do not the kings of the earth," he said, "what thinkest thou, Simon? Do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute of their own children or of strangers?" He basically said this. He said, "Peter, do the kings of the earth, do they tax their children or do they tax the people, their subjects?" That's what he's saying. He's saying, does the kings, the earthly kings, do they tax those that are there of their household? Do they tax their children or do they just tax the people of their whatever you call it, right? They're subjects, the people that they're over. And Peter answers him. Look at it in verse number 26. Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." I like this. There's not a question mark there. If you're not careful when you read that, it almost sounds like Jesus asked another question. "Then are the children free?" No, he didn't ask a question. He made a statement. He said, "Then are the children free." Free. What he's saying is, "Peter, I am who you said that I am. Peter, you said that I am the Christ, that I am the Son of the living God. You remember that, Peter? I'm him." He said, "Peter, you remember being up on the Mount of Transfiguration and you heard that voice, the heavens opened up and there was a voice that spoke and said, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" He said, "That's me, Peter." See, I don't have to pay the tax, Peter. Because the tax is a temple tax, and the temple is my Father's temple. It's my Father's house. And so, Peter, I don't have to pay this tax. He's reminding Peter who he is. Jesus is really working with Peter. And he's showing Peter, "Peter, I'm who you said I am." Don't ever forget that. But I like this. Look at verse number 27. The Bible says, "Notwithstanding." "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them." You know, that would be a good lesson for us to learn. You get what Jesus just said? I'm getting to my message. I won't be long, right? I'm just playing. Jesus said, "Peter, I don't have to pay the tax, but notwithstanding, lest we offend them, lest we're a stumbling," that same word he used with Peter when he said, "Peter, thou art an offense unto me. Thou art a stumbling block unto me." He said, "Peter, lest we would make them stumble," he said, "I'll go ahead and pay the tax." You know, that'd be a good lesson for us to learn as Christians. I think of the Apostle Paul. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Paul said, if meat offered to idols, he's talking about meat offered to idols at the end of that chapter. I'm not sure what verse it is, but at the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, Paul said, if me eating meat is going to cause my brother to stumble, I won't eat meat as long as the world stands. You see, Peter said, it's okay for me to do it, but if it's going to cause somebody else to stumble, I'm not going to do it. That would be a great lesson for us in 2022 as Christians to remember. You know, we are free to do a lot of things. We have liberty in Christ. But just because we have liberty in Christ doesn't mean we need to do it if it's going to cause somebody to stumble. And so Jesus says, "Notwithstanding, Peter," he says, "lest we should offend them," he said, I'm going to give the offering. And so that's where I want to get my message from tonight, verse number 27. And we're going to see Peter's collection here tonight, Peter's collection. I want to focus on verse number 27. Now, obviously, this isn't a missions collection. I've already told you, this is a temple tax. This is a collection for the temple. But I'm going to try to take it and not do any harm to the scripture, I hope. I'm not trying to get out of the context of the scripture. I believe I'm teaching a scriptural truth tonight, and I want to try to preach a missions message, right? With missions emphasis coming up in 2 weeks, but it doesn't necessarily just have to be a missions message. Maybe it's just a work of God message, a building fund message, or a church project message. I want to talk tonight about Peter's collection out of this verse right here, and so I want us to see some things, some lessons that we can learn from Peter's life out of this story and this account in Peter's collection. So number one, I want us to see this, the means of his collection. The means of his collection. Look in verse number 27. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, I'm going to send you to go get some money. I want you to make a collection, Peter, right? And I want us to see the means that he does this with. Verse number 27 says this, and it says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Look at this. Go thou. I'm going to emphasize a couple words here. Go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shall find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. The first means I see in Peter's collection is his availability. His availability. Jesus said, thou, Peter, when thou goest, he said, thou go do this, thou go do that, thou take the offering, give it for thee. He said, Peter, if you're going to get involved in this collection, you're going to have to be available. Peter, you've got to get involved. You know, it's been said before, the best ability is availability. The best ability is availability. You see, if Peter had not been available, then Peter would not have collected. We must be available. If we're going to be used in giving to missions, if we're going to be used in giving to building a new building across the road, if we're going to be used in giving to keep our buses running, if we're going to be used in giving to keep the work of God going here in Madison County, can I tell you, we are going to have to be available. You say, well, Brother David, it's Sunday night, and hey, I'm here in church. I'm in the house of God. I know, and that's wonderful, and thank God for it. I realize who I'm preaching to tonight. I'm preaching to a church that understands giving. I want to preface everything that I'm about to say by saying that I realize I'm in a church tonight that understands giving, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to teach us more. And see, if we're gonna do the work of God, we are going to have to be available. I think about Isaiah. I believe it was Isaiah that said, here am I, Lord. I wonder tonight, see, you could be here, you could be present, you could be in church, but you may not be available. Are you available tonight? If God were to say to you, I want you to up your missions here in 2 weeks when we have missions emphasis, I want you to increase your faith promise, are you available? If God were to speak to you and say, I want you to give so that we can start building or start working across 29, are you available? If God were to say to you, I want you to get involved in this project or that project or this way of giving or that way of giving, I just wonder tonight, are we available? You see, Peter had to be available. Jesus said, thou, Peter, thou. He said, are you available? I'm about to teach you about collection, and you've got to be available. And so availability is the best ability. And I just wonder tonight, are we available? So number one, I see the means of his collection was availability. But also I see this, the means of his collection was action. Look at the verse again, verse 27. The Bible says this. I want you to see the action words in this verse. Look at verse number 27. It says, go. You see it? Go, thou to the sea. And cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them. Do you see those action words in that verse? Go is an action word. Cast is an action word. Take up is an action word. Open is an action word. Finding is an action word. Taking is an action word. Giving is an action word. You see, Jesus said, Peter, if you want to be involved in this collection, he said, you're going to have to be available, but you're also going to have to act. You've got to do something. I think it's so interesting tonight that Jesus asked Peter, that Jesus tells Peter to do something that he is very familiar with. Go fishing, Peter. Jesus doesn't tell Peter to do something he's not familiar with. He says, Peter, go fishing. He says, hey, David, go painting. He says, hey, David, go cut grass. He says, hey, David. No, I'm just playing. You can just keep on going with David's, right? He says, hey, you do what you're used to doing. I like how he uses that. I really believe Jesus is trying to teach Peter something here. He says, Peter, are you available for this collection? And then, Peter, are you going to act? Are you going to do something? I'm going to help you, Peter, but you're going to have to do something.
You're going to have to act. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to fish. You're going to have to cast a line. You're going to have to take it up. You're going to have to open its mouth. You're going to have to give it. But he doesn't ask Peter to do something that Peter's not comfortable with, something that Peter's not familiar with. I don't believe tonight that Jesus is going to ask me to go get involved in the stock market. He might ask you because you're comfortable with it or you're familiar with it. But I'm not. If he did, I would, right? I don't know about right now. No, I'm just playing. But no, you know what he's telling me? He's telling me, David, you go paint. You go paint. You go do what you can do. You go preach. You go do what you can do, and I'll do what you can't do. We're going to see that here in a little bit. But he told Peter, you have to be available. And then he said, Peter, you are going to have to act. You know, I thought about this. You know, I don't think a lot of times, we're in a church, pastor mentioned it this morning. I was listening to the message, and pastor mentioned it this morning about there's a process. It's work and then money. It's work and then money. And he was talking about that people ought to work. And I could hear through the live stream the hearty amens. We're in a church that believes in work, right? I'm not preaching to a bunch of deadbeats tonight. I'm preaching to a bunch of people that understand the thing of the responsibility of hard work. But you know, I don't think we have a problem with the work part. I don't think we have a problem with the going. I don't think we have a problem with the casting or the taking up or the opening the mouth or the taking the coin. But I tell you what, I think sometimes we do have a problem with the giving. You see, he said, Peter, you're going to have to act. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to cast out your line. You're going to have to take up the fish. You're going to have to open his mouth. You're going to have to pull out that coin. But then Peter, it doesn't stop there. You're going to have to give it. That's an action. And as I said, I realize I'm preaching to a bunch of people that give. But maybe there's somebody here tonight that doesn't. Or maybe there's somebody here tonight that God has been dealing with you or speaking to you about doing more. I know he's done it in my life. And God is teaching Peter something here. So I see the means of his collection. It was his availability. It was his action. Not only do I see the means, but I want us to see the miracle. The miracle of the collection. Look at this. I just love this story. I've never preached from this passage before. And when I began to study it, I just thought, I knew with missions emphasis coming up, I could not skip this account in Peter's life. I thought, I have got to preach this. I love this miracle right here. Look at what it says where Peter found the money. The Bible says that Peter, he said, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou art opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. You see, the miracle of Peter's collection is the area he found it. The area that he found it. I'm amazed at the placement of this money. You're talking about a miracle. I've done a lot of fishing in my day. I have never found no money in a fish's mouth. There's some fishermen around here that's done a lot more fishing than I have. And if you've ever found money in a fish's mouth, please let me know. I know you haven't, because if you had, you talking about fishermen have their honey hole that they won't tell nobody about? Oh man, you ever catch a fish with some money in his mouth? I'm gonna tell you right now, ain't nobody gonna know your secret spot. You're gonna go back to that hole again, right? Peter found money in a fish's mouth. You say, do you believe that, Brother David? You better believe I believe that. Amen. Peter pulled money out of a fish's mouth. The area of this miracle. I'm amazed that Jesus allowed Peter to pull money out of a fish's mouth. But can I tell you, over these past 16, 17 years that I've been serving God and living for Jesus, I've been amazed at the places where he's given me money from. I was thinking about this account, and I think I mentioned this. If you've heard this story before, I apologize. I may have shared this one time when Brother David asked us to give testimonies about missions. But I was thinking about this, and I want to share something with you that God did in my life as a young Christian. I was thinking about it today, and I really believe it was probably about 15 years ago, 14 to 15 years ago. Hadn't been long come to Fellowship Baptist Church. Had just maybe started Faith Promise. Hadn't been long. We started Faith. Church didn't do Faith Promise when Pastor came here. Wasn't long after he came. I believe first year you was here. We started Faith Promise. Wasn't very long after that. Maybe in the first year I was here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Young Christian. Hadn't been saved long. Just gotten married. I mean, times were tight. I was thinking about you, Mariah. She's sitting here smiling. I was thinking about Mariah was probably 11 or 12 years old, maybe. I don't know, maybe younger than that. And she used to go with us a lot, Meredith and I. And she would, we'd leave church, and she would go to our house with us. And she used to get so mad because Meredith would say, can we go by McDonald's and get something off the dollar menu? And I would never let her do it. I mean, a dollar double cheeseburger. And Mariah was just like, she thought I was the meanest, tightest. I mean, she just thought, he is just, I ain't never in my life seen anybody won't spend 99 cents on a cheeseburger for his wife and her sister, right? But I'm honest with you, I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford it. We were broke. We had just gotten married. I had bought a brand new car. I thought, man, I'm going to buy a new car. You know, I got a new wife, I'm going to buy a new car. That was a huge mistake. I was upside down on that thing. I tried to sell that for years, and I was willing to lose money on it, and I couldn't sell it, right? But thank God it's been a great car, and I still got it. We're going to let some missionaries drive it next week, so God used it. But I mean, I was broke. I mean, getting behind, and Meredith didn't understand that. Mariah definitely didn't understand that. But I was getting behind on my bills. I didn't have money. My paint business had just started. So it was after I started my paint business. I started that in 2007. So this was probably in 2007 or 2008. I had just started my own business. Times were tight. And I remember not having any money, but I remember coming to church, Pastor, and Brother Harrison. The church already supported Brother Harrison. We still do today when we came to the church. He was one of the missionaries that we inherited. Brother Harrison came on a Sunday morning, and he preached. And I remember, I was a young Christian, but I remember God dealt with my heart. And at the invitation, I came down to the altar, and I just remember as clear as I could that God told me he wanted me to give something to Brother Harrison. And I went home that afternoon, and I remember telling Meredith on the way home how that God had spoken to my heart, and I knew that God wanted me to give some money to Brother Harrison. And if I remember correctly, I almost asked Meredith on the way here tonight, if I remember correctly, it was $200. That's what I just knew. God wants me to give him $200. Now, you know, in 2022, with stimulus checks and all that's going on, you know, $15, $16 minimum wage, $200 is as much as it used to be. But at that time in my life, $200 was a lot of money. It was about all my money. I'm just being honest with you. We had very little money in our bank account. That was going to almost wipe our bank account out. And I told Meredith, I said, I really believe that God wants me to give Brother Harrison this money. And my wife, thank God for her, grew up in a preacher's home, and she understands that type of stuff. She said, hey, that's fine. If you want to give it, that's fine, but don't be complaining later this week to me about how broke we are and how we're going to pay the bills, right? If you're going to do it, I think of Brother Sammy saying, you know, as the moving truck's flying off, you can sing Amazing Grace, right, as the moving truck leaves with all the furniture. But anyway, she said, hey, if you're going to do it, you do it, but don't be complaining to me. And so all afternoon, I sat there and I struggled. Maybe you've been there before. I would imagine most here tonight have. All afternoon, I struggled with that thing. And I finally told Meredith, on the way to church, she took her afternoon nap. I didn't really take a nap, but I struggled with that thing. And on the way to church that night, she said, so what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to give that money to Brother Harrison. I got to. God wants me to. And so we sit out here in the church parking lot, and I remember I wrote the check. Knew it was going to wipe my account out. I mean, I'm talking probably going to leave me under $100 in my banking account, savings account, everything to my name. And I wrote that check out, and I sit there in the parking lot. I watched people come in. You say, Brother David, to me, this was a big deal. I was a young Christian. I walked in this church. I talked to people. I talked to Brother Harrison. Went on with the service. I kept that check in my pocket. After the service, I hung out. We're always one of the last people to leave. We talked to Brother Harrison. We talked about the day. Finally, I went out to the vehicle, and we got into our Blazer at that time we were driving and sat there. And Meredith came out there, and she said, did you? She knew how much it was weighing on me. She got in the vehicle, and she said, did you give it to him? And I said, no. She said, okay, you know, whatever. And I said, but I'm going to. I mean, I was struggling with it. I wanted to be obedient, but it was all my money. I didn't have work that week. I remember I didn't have any work that week, because I'm going to tell you here in a minute how I remember that. But I sat there and I said, you know what? I got to do it. And Pastor come out, him and Brother Harrison come out. They were the last two to come out of the building. Pastor, Miss Sharon, Brother Harrison, and his wife. They walked out the building. They were standing out there on the carport. And Meredith was in the vehicle with me. And I said, here, I'll be right back. And I jumped out and I walked over there to them. And I said, I better do this faster. I'm going back out again. And so I walked up to Brother Harrison. I said, Brother Harrison, it was good to have you today. And when I shook his hand, I had the check in my hand. And he took it. And I was like, I want you to have that, brother. And he said, okay, thank you, brother. And he put it in his pocket. And I walked off and I thought, whew, Man, I'm glad that's over. Right now, I go complain to my wife all the way home. We're not stopping at McDonald's tonight, okay? So don't even ask, right? But we got to the house, and I remember I just felt good. You know how it feels when you obey God? You know what I'm talking about. I felt good. I obeyed God. Next morning, I got up, didn't have any work. And I remember I was sitting in my basement. I was having my time with the Lord, and it was just something. God gave me a little handful of purpose. I got a phone call, and the lady on the other end of the line said, "Hey, David." She said, she told me her name. I knew who she was. She's a lady that I've done other work for. She said, "I just wanted to let you know." She said, you painted our cabin about, it was 2 or 3 weeks before that. She said, "You painted our cabin." And she said, "My husband and I were talking about it over the weekend. We were sitting out on the porch looking at it." And she said, "You guys done such a good job." And she said, "I really think you underbid at this job. We got a couple estimates, and yours was the lowest estimate." New business owner, right? She said, "Yours was the lowest estimate." And she said, "You know what?" She said, "My husband and I talked about it, and I just wanted you to know that this morning when I head out to the office," she said, "I'm gonna drop a check in the mail for you for $400 because I just want to tell you thank you for the good job y'all done." Man, I'm telling you right now, as a young Christian, been saved maybe 2-3 years, I wanted to take a lap around my basement. I mean, God done something for me. He put money in a fish's mouth. I mean, something that I wasn't expecting. I was just trying to be obedient, and God came through for me, and he gave me money from an unlikely place. And can I tell you, over the past 15 or 16 years, I can't tell you the times I've seen God do it again and do it again and do it again. God always comes through. He always does what he says he's going to do. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. This church we're sitting in tonight is a miracle. I can remember times, Pastor, when we could barely pay the bills. I can remember when there was church members taking their money to pay the church bills to keep the lights on. But we just kept giving, and we just kept believing, and we just kept saying, "I'm available, and I'm willing to act, and I'm willing to go, and I'm willing to do." And God said, "Hey, if you'll do your part, I'll do mine." And God has done some miracles that just blow my mind. That's what he did for Peter. He said, "Peter, I'll show you. I'll give you money from a place you never imagined, from a fish's mouth." I thought about this, Pastor. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but man, I thought about when we first came to the church. The church had some, and I'm not saying anything that ain't public knowledge for people that's been here. The church had some unpaid debts, and I remember we didn't know what we were going to do. I remember thinking, "How are we going to pay this?" I remember Pastor just taking this new church, not knowing that we had some money that we owed from when the church was built and some work that was done, and we wondered how we're going to pay it. And I remember Miss Campbell's brother, his brother? Miss Campbell's brother, never seen the man before. I don't know if he ever came to the church. Maybe some of you that were here before us know, but I remember that he passed away, and Miss Campbell walked in here. Was it $30,000? She gave a check for $30,000. She said, "My brother died, and he wanted this money to go to the church." You know what that money was? It was enough to pay that man that we owed money and some. God came through. A miracle. Time and time again, we've seen God do it. And he does it from places that we just, unexpected places. I don't even know if the man was a Christian. I don't know. It sounds like he was, but you never know. God laid on a lost man's heart to give to a church. God can get it from wherever he wants to get it from. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And can I tell you, God can give it however he chooses to give it. He can put it in a fish's mouth, or he can put it in a customer's bank account, or he can put it in a person's wheel. But God can give it however he chooses to.
That's right.
And so I see the area of it, but I also see the amount of it. Talking about a miracle, he said, look at verse number 27. The Bible says, he said, "Take and give unto them for me and thee." My Bible talks about that money that he gave. It says it's a stater, I believe is what they call it. It was the exact amount of the temple tax for two people. The miracle of this collection was not only the area in which Peter found it in a fish's mouth, but the amount that was there. It was exactly what he needed. And I know I'm preaching to some people that have experienced it. God has given you exactly what you needed. You didn't think it was going to happen. You didn't know how it was going to happen. But all of a sudden, some way, somehow, whether it's a bonus at work, whether it's a little overtime that was unexpected, whether it's a gift from a family member or a friend, but somehow, some way, God met the need that you had exactly. Because that's what God does. That's the miracle of the collection. And then last, and I'm done, I want us to see the message of the collection. You say, what do we learn from this, Brother David? What do we learn? What's the message of this collection? Well, the message of this collection, I believe, is this, that we need to pay attention to his plan. Or we need to assent to his plan. That word assent means we need to go along with. Look at verse number 27 one more time. I love the detail that Jesus gives. Look at the detail that the Lord gives. Go thou to the sea. Cast a hook. He don't say, Peter, cast a net. You know, this is the only time, as far as I can tell, I may be wrong, but as far as I can tell, this is the only time you see Peter fishing with a hook. Peter's always fishing with a net. Had he told Peter, Peter, go to the sea and fish, I believe Peter would have went and got his net and cast his nets out. That's the way Peter always fished. But Jesus said, Peter, I don't want you to do that. I want you to go to the sea, and I want you to cast a hook. And the Bible says, he said, Peter, go cast a hook. And he said, and take up the fish that first. He said, take up the fish that first cometh up. Doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter what kind of fish it is. He said, the first fish that you catch, Peter, I want you to take that fish up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, Peter, I want you to open his mouth. He said, then take the piece of money and take and give unto them for me and for thee. You see the attention to detail here? I believe with all of my heart that Jesus has given Peter clear directions for this collection. I also believe that he has given and will give us clear directions if we will follow his plan. He will meet the need. I've heard it said many times. Our pastor said it many times. Where God guides, God provides. We have his plan forgiven. It's been taught here many times. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, it talks about those churches of Macedonia that out of their great poverty, they gave of their ability and beyond their ability. They gave liberally in their poverty, and God blessed them. We have it in Philippians where Paul said, those churches, they communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. And Paul said that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see, we know what God has said about how to collect. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said, prove me. Malachi chapter number 3, I believe it is. He said, prove me. Try me. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you won't be able to handle. He said, hey, you want to see me do something? He said, you give and I'll give. You do it and I'll do it. You take a step and I'll take a step. You act and I'll act. You see, the message is we just got to follow his plan. I'm convinced tonight the reason that Fellowship Baptist Church is in the position that Fellowship Baptist Church is because we followed his plan. We have followed his plan. When it didn't make sense, when we didn't understand, when we didn't know how we were going to pay the bills, when we didn't know how we were going to pay the pastor, when we didn't know how we were going to give to missions, when we didn't know how we were going to run buses, we just kept following his plan. We just kept doing it his way. We just kept trusting his word. And God said, hey, if you'll pay attention, if you assent to my plan, I'll meet your need. Where God guides, God provides. That's why it's important that we do this thing of collecting and giving God's way. It's very important we do it God's way. You see, faith promises God's way. It really is. If you study the Bible, you'll see that God's way is faith promise. It's you giving and God supplying. That's what it is. It's you giving and God supplying. And God says, if you'll do it my way, I'll take care of your needs. I'll supply all your need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we see the attention to his plan. And then last on the message of the collection, I see this. The amazement of his power. The amazement of his power. Peter, he said, Peter, go down there and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up and open his mouth, and there's going to be a coin in there. Take that coin out. You take that coin and you go and you give that coin to them for me and for thee. Can you imagine Peter on his way back to the temple? I'm just thinking Peter is amazed. Peter is just amazed. I mean, he's already seen him calm the wind and the sea. He knows who he is. But he's just getting reminded again. Aren't you glad when God reminds? You know what God did for me last night, Philip? He reminded me. He reminded me. He reminded me I can show up and I can show out and I can do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it with whomever I want to do it in any situation that I want to do it. And thank God that every now and then God will just give us a little handful of purpose and he'll just amaze us with his power. I'm sure when Peter was on his way back from that seashore, I bet he was amazed. He was thinking, he is the Son of God. He is who I said he is. He is he's God's Son. He's the Almighty. He's all powerful. He's over the winds and the sea. He's over the creatures in the sea. He's over everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I guarantee you Peter wasn't too worried about money after this event. I bet you Peter didn't wring his hands and get concerned about how he was going to pay the bills because Peter had seen his power. Peter knew he can do whatever he wants to do. And can I tell you, I stand before you tonight, and if I ever falter, God help me. But as I stand before you tonight, I've seen his power. I've seen what he can do. And I don't care if gas, I do care, but it doesn't matter if gas gets to $6 a gallon, if the economy collapses, it doesn't matter if the dollar tanks. Can I tell you, our God is still God. He's still on the throne. He can still meet needs. He can still do what he wants to do. And if we'll just trust him, if we'll just do it his way, I think about Elijah there in Kings where it says that little widow there in Zarephath. Elijah went down there. There was a great famine in the land and she had one little meal and one little barrel and she said, I'm going to fix this for my son and then we're just going to die. And Elijah said, no, don't do that. He said, the Lord sent me. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to fix it for me, and after you fix it for me, you can fix it for you and your son. And the Bible says she did what God said do. And you know what the Bible says after that? That the meal spoiled not and the oil didn't run out. God met that woman's need. Can I tell you, God's going to meet our need. If we do it God's way, if we'll just keep trusting God, if we'll just keep believing God, God is going to do what God says he's going to do. I need this. When I see the shape of our world today, when I see the economy and all that's going on, man, I got to be reminded. You know, that's when God gets the glory. It's in the hard times that God gets the glory. We don't like the hard times. I don't like the hard times. But I tell you, I told those men last night at the prison, I said, God loves using. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God's chosen the base things of the world, the things that are not to confound the things that are. You see, God, when he grabs, God can walk into Page County Jail and he can get a hold of the heart of some thief, of some drunkard, of some drug addict, and he can change his life and send him out on the streets and use him for God's glory, because then God gets the glory. And can I tell you, when times are tough and when the economy's hard and when we don't know how we're going to get money, that's when God can really show up. That's when God can really show out. That's when God can get the glory for what he does. We just got to keep trusting him. We just got to keep trusting him. I want to trust him. I want to trust God. Peter was amazed at his power. Are you amazed at his power tonight? If you've never experienced what I'm preaching tonight, you need to get in on it. I just shared a couple little stories of my own. There's stories all over this building. We could probably have a testimony service tonight of all that God has done. Paid this building off in 6 months. It was less than 6 months. Pastor said, we're going to try to pay the building off by the end of the year. I ain't going to lie to you. When Pastor told the staff that he was going to try to raise money, well, he wasn't, but God was, going to try to raise money to pay this building off and be debt-free so that we could purchase that land across the road. When Pastor told us that, I ain't going to lie. He knows that. I told him. I thought, man, it ain't happening. I did. I'm just being honest. But can I tell you, it did happen.
Amen.
It did happen. Amen. Happened before we thought it was going to happen. God paid it off. Bought that land across the road, $400,000+. About 3 months, by God's grace, going to be paid for. It's going to be paid for. You say, what are you saying, Brother David? I'm saying that if we'll just keep trusting God, if we'll just keep believing God, if we'll just keep following God, God will just keep showing his power. God will just keep showing us. He'll do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. God loves showing his power. I believe that.
Amen.
I want him to do it in my life.
Yeah.
I want him to show his power in my life. But I'm going to have to be available. And I'm going to have to act when he says act. And then he'll show me. He'll show you. He'll do things that'll confound us so that he gets the glory for it. Peter's collection. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness tonight, God. I thank you for your help. God, I'm more aware tonight, maybe than ever, of how much I need you. God, as I look out across our world and see the situation, the condition, God, the only hope we have is you. But I'm glad, God, the only hope we need is you. God, I'm glad that you're an anchor that's steadfast and sure. God, I'm glad that we're not asking you to do something that you've never done. We're asking you to do things you've already done. God, I think of those heroes of the faith that have trusted you, George Mueller and different ones down through the years, living by faith. God, help this church to be a church that lives by faith. God, that we might show unto our generation, that you might show unto our generation your power, God, through us, through this church. Lord, help us to be involved in your work, and God, and do it your way. We love you, and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to turn them to